All right. Good morning, everybody. Stefan Molyneux from Freedomain. Freedomain.com/donate. Bitcoin briefing, early June 2026. Of course, as I'm sure you've seen, Bitcoin has seen a relatively steady decline as May closed out low to mid 70s. Then it tumbled hard in the first two trading days of June below the psychologically important 70K level, traded as low as the mid 65s by June 3rd, 10 to 11% down in just a couple of days. Heavy intraday volatility on June 2nd. Meanwhile, the broader US stock market, S&P 500, especially the tech-heavy NASDAQ, continues to push towards or hit fresh record highs. This is, of course, driven by future earnings potential expected from AI and big tech companies as a whole. So it's a notable divergence, right? Bitcoin did not follow the stock market down or up as a regular investment vehicle would. It moved independently and sharply lower. So May 26th, 27th, Bitcoin trades mid to high 74s to low 75s, showed some resilience. May 28th to 31st settled into a tighter range around 73 to 73.8, and then it went down considerably, of course, right? Of course, Bitcoin, October 2025, all-time high 126,000. It had already corrected significantly in early 2026. Down towards 60,000 at one point, the recent move as a meaningful drawdown from the peak, though crypto is famously volatile. So why did Bitcoin fall while stocks rose? So traditional stocks, especially large tech companies tied to AI enthusiasm, kept climbing or held near records. The S&P closed June 2nd around 76.10, positive weekly and monthly performance, multiple record highs in 2026. NASDAQ is showing similar strengths, of course. Bitcoin sold off hard, though. This suggests crypto-specific pressures rather than broad risk-off panic across all speculative assets. Crypto often amplifies moves because of its unique market structure. Of course, there's more leverage in it, and there's 24/7 trading and direct institutional pipes via exchange-traded funds, which is where you can own Bitcoin without having to own it directly. And of course, there's a lot of white swan events in any kind of investing scenario. So who would have guessed necessarily in the fall of 2025, like 18 months ago plus, that AI was going to become such a big thing with so much promise, and there would be so much rush to invest in the gold rush of AI. I mean, I don't think anyone would have guessed that, or if they did, they would be fabulously wealthy, of course. So, okay, so what is going on? The drivers for the drawdown. So the first, of course, is heavy Bitcoin ETF outflows. So spot Bitcoin ETFs. These are, of course, the exchange-traded funds. They hold actual Bitcoin in custody and trade like regular stocks. Are the easiest on-ramp for big institutions, pensions, and traditional investors who don't want to custody crypto themselves. One of the clearest drivers behind Bitcoin's recent weakness has been sustained selling through U.S. spot Bitcoin ETFs. So these funds have seen persistent outflows as institutional investors reduced exposure. The streak of net redemptions has now reached 12 consecutive days with cumulative outflows between $3.5 billion and $4 billion, or the average take from a daycare in Minneapolis. BlackRock's IBIT has accounted for a large portion of the selling, though outflows have been broad across several major funds. This extended wave of redemptions has created direct selling pressures on Bitcoin, as, of course, the ETFs must sell underlying Bitcoins to meet withdrawals. Analysts have pointed to these flows as one of the most significant factors weighing on price in recent weeks. Because there's ongoing macro and geopolitical uncertainty. And normally, of course, when there's a lot of uncertainty, people like going to hard assets like gold and perhaps real estate. And Bitcoin has been poised on the edge of being a safe haven investment vehicle. But because the geopolitical instability has to do with war and Bitcoin cannot be leveraged to fund the war machine, then war is going to negatively affect Bitcoin's value. Right? So I hope that makes sense. Geopolitical tensions and the Iran conflict, so there's macro uncertainty plus inflation issues. Disruptions around the Strait of Hormuz, this is critical oil shipping choke point, carries about 20% of global oil supply, and fertilizer, which is quite significant as well. It's going to be a tough summer for crops. So there's reported U.S. airstrikes near the Strait of Hormuz on May 27th drove oil prices sharply higher at times with ripple effects into gasoline and broader energy costs. This feeds directly, of course, into inflation. When the price of oil goes up and you have an entire economy with like this inverted pyramid resting on oil, it's going to have a ripple effect into everything. And it's crazy. Like, I took a cab recently for about an hour, and it was $180. Like, it's just completely mental. U.S. consumer sentiment hit record lows in May, despite relatively stable jobs data, with people citing high prices for groceries, housing, and especially energy. Higher oil or inflation fears make central banks, like the Federal Reserve, more cautious about cutting interest rates. Uncertainty like this often hits speculative or risk assets first. Crypto felt it more acutely than broad stock indices, which were buoyed by AI growth narratives. Now, whether AI pays off in the way that everyone thinks is another question. People say, of course, well, AI isn't perfect, but if you've ever managed people, you'd be acutely and painfully aware that people themselves also are not perfect. So it just has to be better than the average worker, or even a relatively incompetent worker. Let's say AI is better than 30% of the workers. That puts 30% of workers at risk, because you say, hey, well, AI makes errors, but so do the lower quintile and a half of workers. Now, of course, there's leveraging, forced selling. So crypto markets use a lot of leverage, right? So traders borrow money to take bigger positions, betting on price rises. When Bitcoin approached or broke 70K on the downside, many of those long bets were automatically liquidated. Exchanges force sold positions to repay the borrowed money. This creates a cascade, more selling, lower prices, more liquidations, which drives the price further down. Reports noted hundreds of millions in liquidations around the June 2nd drop. It's a self-reinforcing loop that traditional stock markets don't experience to the same degree. What else has been going on? Oh, there's symbolic corporate selling. So Strategy, which used to be MicroStrategy, sold a small amount, just 32 Bitcoin for about $2.5 million. In late May, its first sale since 2022. The amount was tiny relative to its insane holdings of about 843,700 Bitcoin, but the news and timing added to negative sentiment, right? I mean, obviously, Saylor is a massive evangelist. According to Strategy's June 1st, 2026, 8K filing with the SEC, the proceeds are expected to be used to fund distributions on its preferred stock. I mean, everyone who works for a company needs to pay in fiat, and therefore, if the company has a lot of Bitcoin and it needs to pay stuff, it's going to have to sell some Bitcoin. This approach was signaled earlier in May by Michael Saylor and CEO Phong Le, who said the company would sell small amounts of Bitcoin to cover preferred stock dividends when it is more efficient and less dilutive than issuing new equity. Watcher Guru posted at 10:17 p.m. Eastern that Strategy currently carries an $11.5 billion unrealized loss on its Bitcoin holdings. An unrealized loss is not an actual loss, but it can certainly feed into negative sentiment. And there's people who are going to sell their Bitcoin when it's low and buy it back, right? So let's say you bought Bitcoin at 110 and it goes down to 80, you can sell it and then buy it right back with the 80, but what you've done is accrued a $30,000 capital loss, which could be used to offset taxes. I'm not an accountant. This is just my idiot amateur understanding about how it works. Check with your accountant. Don't listen to me. All right. So after the huge 2025 rally, some investors rotated out of crypto into other high-performing areas like AI and tech stocks. And it's not a full market panic, of course, but the combo of geopolitics, sticky inflation, and ETF selling creates a de-risking environment that crypto absorbed more painfully. So, I mean, what does this say about Bitcoin as a whole? Well, Bitcoin showed meaningful independence from the broader equity market this week. Stocks were resilient or rallying on growth AI themes. Bitcoin was hit by crypto-native mechanics. ETF flows plus leverage, forced selling, or automatic selling, layered on top of the same macro geopolitical worries. I mean, it's not unprecedented. This has happened a bunch of times before. Crypto as a whole, and Bitcoin in particular, can decouple in both directions. Stock market goes down, crypto goes up, and vice versa. But it highlights how ETF adoption has changed the transmission of institutionalized flows and how leverage can exaggerate moves, right? It's whiplash. Analysts have noted historical tendencies for softer periods in June in certain post-halving years, with potential stabilization or rebounds later in the summer. However, crypto remains highly sensitive to flows, news, and sentiment. And crypto as a relatively new investment vehicle for most mainstream investors, and Bitcoin in particular through the ETFs, it's really easy to goose people. It's really easy to alarm people, to scare people, to goose people. I mean, you look at the stock market, and even if you bought at the most inflated periods of the stock market right before the crash over 80 or 100 years, theoretically, you still would have made money. So Bitcoin doesn't have that kind of history. And there is, of course, the fear, uncertainty, and doubt regarding Bitcoin that some people can say, well, it's not based on anything, it's a bubble, and then just people freak out, right? They look at their entire life savings evaporating and they, oh, move me to something safer. So what are we going to keep an eye on? What I'm going to keep an eye on? ETF flows, any reversal or continued heavy outflows will be a key tell. geopolitics. Any meaningful de-escalation of progress on Strait of Hormuz reopening slash talks could ease energy slash inflation pressure. It's not, of course, just Strait of Hormuz. When there's a war, then, of course, military industrial stocks go through the roof. Really, the government should be producing all of its own material because Lord knows it taxes people enough, but it outsources it to a lot of corporations, so people buy those corporate stocks, and that makes war extremely profitable, which war shouldn't be profitable because it's a net loss, but they make it profitable because the government prints money, hands it to a military industrial companies who then pay for or create or spend on a bunch of military hardware and software. And then money is made in an imaginary fashion. So the fact that there's a war and Bitcoin cannot profit from war, I talked about this like, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, Bitcoin versus war. Then when there's a war, then Bitcoin will lose out and traditional military industrial complex stocks will increase. And Bitcoin itself, in the short run, does not lower headcount in corporations, right? AI might lower headcount in corporations, which will drive further profits and dividends and stock values and so on. So if there is a kind of wildfire of AI going through the headcount of corporations, then real estate becomes less valuable. If corporations have to shrink their sizes, then they'll have less requirement for office space. And if AI gets rid of 10, 20, 30% of the workforce, then stock profits and values will increase. Bitcoin does not run like wildfire through a corporation and reduce the need for headcount and real estate. So it makes sense, right? Upcoming jobs report and inflation readings will influence Fed expectations. How Bitcoin behaves around the recent lows and whether it can reclaim 70K. And consumer pain from high prices is real. Even if headline jobs numbers look okay, that tension matters for risk assets. I mean, when people are doing very, very well, they tend not to invest in risky assets. And also if they're older, because they want to have a more stable set of savings for retirement, perhaps. When people are doing really, really badly, they don't have the money to invest in things. The sweet spot for risky assets, in my humble opinion, it's just my opinion, I'm not an investment advisor. Don't take any advice from me. Check with your investment, make your own decisions, check with your advisor, do your own research. Nothing I say should be construed as buying or selling anything. It's just my personal opinion. But the sweet spot for investment risk, like more risky investments, is when people are doing well, not great, not badly. It's sort of like, think of training for athletes, right? So the athletes who are at the top of their game The athletes at the top of their game have an incentive to train less because they're already at the top. And then the athletes who are injured don't tend to train that much. The athletes in the middle will tend to train the most because they want to get higher. And so it's the same thing with income. If your income is super great, you might invest in some risky assets, but there's not quite the same level of investment, because if your income is super great, you can just invest in safer stocks and make a fortune. If your income is really at the wire, like, you know, $1,000 in is $999 out because of inflation, then you don't have much left to invest. So as the middle investor, the middle income earners drop down because of inflation, they'll be investing less in higher risk assets. So this was a crypto-specific acceleration of selling on top of genuine macro uncertainty, not a simple stocks are down, so Bitcoin is down story. The ETF channel, as I've talked about for years, is now a major driver. Leverage adds fuel to moves, and geopolitical energy shocks are feeding inflation worries that hit speculative assets hardest. Volatility is the norm here, not the exception. This briefing draws from market data, Yahoo Finance, CoinDesk, SoSo Value, ETF trackers, etc., and contemporaneous reporting as of June the 4th, 2026. Stay frosty, stay safe, and don't worry about imaginary losses. That's like fantasizing that your girlfriend is going to leave you when she hasn't left you. It's just going to make you freak out, and nothing matters if you hold on in terms of losses. It's all paper nonsense until later. So I hope you're doing well. Freedomain.com/donate if you find this stuff helpful. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. We'll talk soon. Bye.